Judges chapter 16. Then Delilah pouted. How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. And all the men said, help us, Jesus. But it worked, and all the ladies said, finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut, he confessed. For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. And then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. And when he woke up, he thought, I'll do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him, and they gouged out his eyes. And they took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. Let's pray. Father, you are the greatest treasure that we have. And your love means everything to us. And so for the many times that we have taken advantage of that, and we've abused that, and we've misused that, and we have grieved your Holy Spirit, forgive us. And help us to love you with the passion that you love us. In Jesus' name, everyone said. You may be seated. So how did we get here? Samson, he's the real-life Superman. He single-handedly ghosted thousands of Philistines and now deceived by a woman, captured by his enemies, and made to be a slave for them. It reminds me of the first time that I ever watched Superman 2. Do you remember that movie? Okay, go back in time with me. It's 1981. I'm 9 years old. Adorable, right? The nerd is strong with me already. At 9 years old, my goal in life was to be a comic book artist, okay? And I'm already a total geek for everything that's science fiction and fantasy and comic book stuff like that, superheroes. And I'm at the theater, and I'm watching Superman 2, The Adventure Continues. But this is a Superman as I had never seen him before. Come on and take a look.
I'd like a cheeseburger with everything on it and a Coke. And order of fries and a side salad.
And for you, sir?
Oh, I'll think about it when I get back.
Right. It's one cheeseburger.
Steak and eggs, Annie. Don't worry,
my Coke.
Coffee.
Yeah, coming right up.
I'm sorry, that's his steak.
It is now, sweetheart. I'll buy you something to eat.
No, thank you.
Excuse me, sir. I think you're sitting in my seat.
Your seat's in there, Four Eyes.
Gee, I think perhaps somebody ought to teach you some manners, sir.
Yeah? Well, let me know when he comes in.
Look, Clark, we can just...
Honey? Excuse me, sir, would you care to step outside?
Clark.
I said, excuse me, sir, would you care to step outside?
Now, listen, Rocky, your steak's coming right up.
Keep it on the flame, Ron. This is just a minute steak.
After you.
Clark!
You all right, fella?
He's gonna be fine. Just give me that. Clark?
Blood. It's my blood. I think maybe you ought to hire a bodyguard from now on.
I don't want a bodyguard. I want the man I fell in love with.
I know that, Lois. I wish you were here.
wow. What is going on? How is it possible that random truck driver guy just took down the Man of Steel like he's nothing? This was painful to watch. It was painful. There's Superman. He's bleeding. He's powerless. You see, in this movie, we see some parallels because Superman has fallen in love with a human, Lois Lane. And faced with a choice between fulfilling his destiny and fulfilling his desires, he chooses desire. And all of his powers are taken. And the whole world is thrown into chaos until Superman realizes what a terrible mistake that he's made. Now, we all know, and we just read, the most widely known part of Samson's story, which is his relationship with non-Jewish, idol-worshiping Delilah. But if we roll back a few chapters in the book of Judges, we find that this very situation, it's a pattern with Samson, okay? Different horse, same rodeo. If you roll back a few chapters, Samson, instead of being about his call from God, which is to go after the Philistines and save the people, Samson's out after chicks. And you know what? Instead of going after any of the godly Jewish girls, what does he do? He's going after the forbidden fruit. He's looking out for the Philistine girls. And after a very sort of, you know, weak objection from his parents, Samson steamrolls them, and he gets engaged to this Philistine girl, which, again, is against the law, the spiritual religious law of God, against interfaith marriages, right? He says, well, that doesn't pertain to me. He gets engaged to this girl. Evidently, Samson has no good Jewish guys who are willing to stand up for this train wreck of a marriage. So what happens is this girl's family pick 30 guys from their town, Philistine guys from their town, to be the groomsmen. Samson engages the 30 Philistine groomsmen in a bet. And the challenge is that they have a few days to guess the riddle. And if they cannot guess it, they each have to give Samson an entirely new outfit. And if they do guess it, he has to give each of them a new outfit. And so for 3 days, these guys are walking around Philistia Mall, right? And they're thinking about all the cash they're going to have to shell out for Samson's new jeans, you know, at Pagan Crombie and Fitch. And they, help us, Lord. They cannot figure out the riddle. It says in chapter 14, on the fourth day, they go to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to steal our property? Now, heads up. These people worship Dagon, okay? And if that name doesn't mean anything to you, Dagon is the idol Baal's daddy, okay? And if the pagan gods of Dagon and Baal still don't mean anything to you, just understand that this threat was no game. Because when these guys went to a worship service at the first church of Dagon, people died. Human sacrifice was how Dagon was worshipped. So motivated by fear, this girl, you know, she presses and pressures Samson for an answer, and Samson allows her persistence to win, and he tells her the answer, and surprise, she immediately runs out and tells these 30 guys in her own wedding party so, you know, they don't murder her and her family, and the gig is up. And it says in verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and he struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. And burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. And Samson's wife was given to one of the companions who had attended at the feast. Okay, so everybody loses here. And it says here that Samson returns home. And I'll never forget one night when the Spirit of God came and he spoke to me while I was living in Florida. And like Samson, I had a tremendous weakness. Relationships, physical attention from women caused me to compromise my relationship with God, caused me to ruin my relationship with my parents and my family, who thankfully remained wholeheartedly and fully committed to the ways of God. And I'd moved out and I was pursuing an ungodly relationship. And one night, surprise, the whole thing blew up in my face in a very ugly and painful way. And in the wee hours of the morning, I was standing there looking outside of a sliding glass door. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I was exhausted. And God said, I allowed this. This relationship was an idol. And all idols will fall to me because I alone am God. It's time to go back home. I wish that I could tell you tonight that I went back home. To my shame, I said some things to God that I won't repeat here. But I blamed him. I was angry at him. I hated him for it. I declared war on God, and I became very dark inside. And I'm so happy to tell you that I lost that war. And by losing it, I truly won, and I lived to tell the tale. You see, in hindsight, this event in Samson's life, it was a warning. It was a red flag. That moment when God was saying, come home, turn from your sin, turn away from your disobedience, come back, follow in my ways. It was a warning. And Samson lost big. He lost face, he lost his wife, and he had to return home. And you see, now Samson is physically back in his father's house, but his mind is not. He's there, but he's not there. He's still obsessing about the forbidden fruit. He's physically back among God's people, but he won't move forward with God. He won't engage with God's call on his life. He won't even consider pursuing a godly relationship. He just keeps thinking about that Philistine girl. I'm going to prove them all wrong. I'm going to show them all I can make this work. I know better than God. God wants me to lead, but I just want to love. God wants me to resist. He wants me to overthrow the Philistines. But maybe, you know, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's my way. You see, Samson received supernatural strength for a purpose to set his people free, but instead he was using it for selfish purposes. Samson could never bring himself to the place to say, not my will, but your will be done. So Samson has returned home, but he's not returned to God. And he goes back out again to seek out this ungodly relationship. And Proverbs 26 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. It's ugly to watch. But now let's cut back to Superman, okay? Superman has been saving the people of Earth, right? And saving them, you know, and to do that, Superman has given up a lot. He's given up a lot of stuff. He's given up a real life. He's given up friends. He's given up a transparent relationship with this woman that he loves. And his father, Jor-El, tries to warn him. Watch the clip.
If I no longer wish to serve humanity.
Is this how you repay their gratitude? By abandoning the weak, the defenseless, the needy, for the sake of your selfish pursuits?
Selfish? After all I've done for them? Will there ever come a time when I've served enough? At least they get a chance for happiness. I only ask as much, no more.
Yours is a high happiness. The fulfillment of your mission, the inspiration you must have felt. You must have felt that happiness within you. My son, surely you cannot deny that feeling.
No, I cannot. Any more than I can deny the other, which is stronger in me, Father. So much stronger.
Superman's power was meant to enrich the lives of the people of Earth, but here all he can see is the woman that he wants and the life that he doesn't have. And Samson and Superman are both looking at everything that they had to give up, right? They're focused on the inconvenience of it all instead of the blessing of the call. Well, I gotta have this hair, and I can't touch this thing, and I can't drink that thing, and I can't go here, and I can't do this. It's all a bunch of problems to Samson, because there's this thing that he wants. and their focus on what they don't have became the reality until they were willing to sacrifice everything to get the one thing that they didn't have, to finally get love, to finally be happy. And so Samson stubbornly pursues Delilah. And now, of course, at this point in his life, it's like sin number 4,986, right? How many of you know life is like a poker game? And the longer you are in it, the higher the stakes, right? Back to that story. Remember the part where it says, when he woke up, he thought, I will do as before, and I'll shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Scariest words in the Bible. He didn't realize that the Lord had left him. You see, he was going to get up and he was going to crush these guys just like before. He was going about business as usual. It was the routine. But he lost his power to defeat the enemy when the Lord left him. You see, the Holy Spirit had been with Samson the whole time on this whole journey of his life. Through every act of disobedience, through ignoring his call, through ignoring all the godly girls that he might have chosen, through going after the Philistine girls, ignoring the prohibition on interfaith marriage, touching the dead carcass, all of it, the Holy Spirit was there. But when Samson finally identifies the secret, the Holy Spirit is like, yeah, you're right. There was something between us, but you've mistreated me. And now that you're finally at a place where you verbalize the truth, now you're going to see what it's like without me. You see, this is the secret that Samson has been hiding from himself. Because he so abused the relationship, he finally admits it. It's because of the covenant. It wasn't even supposed to be a secret. God never said, don't tell anyone about this. And here's the truth for us tonight. Our purpose and our power are directly tied to God's presence in our lives. John chapter 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Your understanding of who you are and who you are supposed to become is wrapped up in knowing God, in experiencing his presence deep inside of you, at work in you. You just trying to make things up about your plans based on your personal likes and dislikes, or based on your age or your income or your abilities or anything divorced from his presence will result in confusion and heartache and wasted time and resources and dead ends. And if you're getting along just fine without God's help, then you are not fulfilling your destiny. The power that you need to accomplish what he wants you doing cannot come from you alone. You have been given dreams and visions. You've been nudged by the Holy Spirit of God. Others have spoken destiny into you. They saw something in you. They saw something more for you. And when they said those words, it sparked something in you that said, yes, that's for me. There are supernatural resources available to you so that when you're flowing in your divine purpose, God's power is there to make things happen that could never happen without him, so that he will get the glory and not you. And I think Samson, if he was here, he would be sure to tell us, don't make my mistake. Be quick to tell everyone that God is helping you. Tell them God is your source of power to endure. That God is your source of victory, that God is your source. Everyone needs to hear that from you. And more importantly, you need to remind you that it's the truth. But what about God's presence? How do we receive that? I'm so glad you asked that question. That is the most important question of all. Samson reminds us how he lost God's presence. It didn't happen overnight. Samson was a slow leak. A fateful night did come, but only after many fateful nights, fateful moments of choosing selfishness over holiness. Watch the litany of scandals and selfishness that defines most of Samson's life and see the great patience and undeserved goodness of God. God could have pulled the plug on Samson a long time ago when he showed reluctance to engage the Philistines to confrontation, when he refused all the good girls and kept obsessing about the forbidden ones and unhealthy relationships, when Samson decided God's laws didn't apply to him or on down the list to the prostitute and beyond. Think of all the times that God could have and should have and would have been completely justified in walking away from you. But he didn't. And I'm so grateful for the love of God, aren't you? Come on, give him praise. So grateful that this relationship is not a one-for-one contract. He gives us more of himself than we deserve. But there must come a point at which we engage that, a point at which we begin to value that we stop abusing him and stop taking him for granted, that we grow and we change and we mature before too much time has passed, before too many choices get made, before it's too late to fully realize our purpose. We must realize the treasure that we have been given in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who walks with us and teaches us, and he prompts us and he convicts us and he fills us with eternal life. Paul warns us, don't take him for granted in Ephesians chapter 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all the bitterness. Get rid of the rage and the anger and the brawling and the slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate with each other. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. We can never earn or deserve or purchase the precious presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All we can do is learn to become more aware of him, to recognize and acknowledge that he is with us, to change our flippant attitudes and remember that we are in his presence. Before we verbalize or act on our thoughts, to filter them through his presence. And we can humbly apologize for our many offenses and ask his help that we might cooperate with him more fully. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And we sense God's presence here at Calvary as we pray and as we worship. But I want to remind you that worship is not music. Worship is every decision that we make. It is every word that we speak. I love worship music. It opens up my heart in ways that nothing else can. But God does not give his presence to keyboards or to drum kits or to guitars or saxophones or microphones. God puts his presence in the hearts of people who are fully committed to him and his purpose and his lordship and honoring him as the priority above all other things. And there's so much more to his story that we don't have time to get into tonight. But after enjoying a period of time as the recognized leader among God's people, Samson, again, he fails in the flesh. Stubbornly refusing to do relationships God's way, Samson heads deep down into Philistine territory, bisects from a prostitute in Gaza. This is ugly stuff that we got here in the Bible, but I'm glad it's there because the Bible doesn't sugarcoat anything. There is no pretending with God. Samson keeps rotating through the same sins and issues like a hamster on a wheel. But each time the consequences get greater. Life is like a card game. The longer you stay in the game, the higher the stakes get. And with each round, you start to see the other players tap out and they fold out. And the winner's pot gets richer. And every decision matters more. The mistakes that you made at 13 or 14 or 15 years old, if you're still making them at 25, the consequences will be far more permanent at this stage of your life. And we see this in Samson. But you see, he thinks he's getting away with it. He thinks he's getting away with breaking his vows to God because God hasn't pulled the plug on the power yet. Samson is not getting away with anything. And neither are you. No one is. Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Samson, he skates through and then he shacks up with Delilah. But God is bringing everything to a conclusion because a choice has to be made. Are you with me or are you with her? Just like Superman had to make a choice. If he wanted to be with a mortal, then he had to become a mortal. And he had to sacrifice all of his powers. And sacrifices will be made with every choice we make. You don't get to get out of making sacrifices. You either will sacrifice what you want for what God wants, or you will sacrifice your purpose and your power for what you want. Matthew chapter 12. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. And so Samson chose. And when he confessed the source of his strength, he chose Delilah. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm out. I will not play second wife to you. And he lost his power. And he lost his purpose. And he lost his sight. And Samson's eyes were gouged out. And the Philistines did to him physically what he had been doing to himself spiritually. Judges chapter 16. Then the Philistines seized him. And they gouged out his eyes. And they took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. And now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. You know, I was reading into Samson's life, and it struck me that there are only two prayers that he prayed that are recorded. His first prayer was, let me live. And his second prayer was, let me die. And I couldn't help but remember being in a hospital room in isolation. It was not a good situation. The doctors had told my folks that I was not coming out of there alive. And my mom had come into the room to rub ointment on my open sores, and I had been doing some reckoning with God in that room. And I remember telling her, Mom, if I die, God is just. And if I live, it's because he's merciful. You see, death was not the scary thing for me at that point. There comes a time when you realize that physical death is just a thing. It's an event that you will experience. I was not afraid of death. What bothered me was the thought of seeing the face of God and hearing him say something like, you finally repented, finally. You got honest with me, and I'm faithful and merciful, and I have forgiven you for Jesus' sake. But I have to say, Michael, I'm so disappointed in you. Your family's heartbroken. I'm heartbroken. Your life was wasted. I gave you every opportunity. I put you in a godly home. You knew the scriptures from childhood. You were raised in the knowledge of me. From childhood, you knew me, and you blew all of it for selfishness and lust, and now your body is done. And you're with me, but you have nothing to show for it. I love you, but I'm so disappointed in you. That scared me. The idea of hearing that from God, it had me begging for time in that room. God, I don't know what this would look like or how much time I would have, what I would look like, what my life would be like or how long. It just doesn't even matter. Please just give me time to show you that my life was not a waste. And Samson prayed twice. And his first one was, let me live. You see, in chapter 15, he single-handedly killed 1,000 Philistines. The soldiers, he's beyond exhaustion. His body is crashing from the chemical rush and the spirit of God that's been on his body. It just took his body to some other level, heightened his senses and his abilities to do things right out of a comic book, right? And now it was done, and Samson realized he needed God, not to fight, but to live. In the first prayer, Samson, he calls out to God. He just says, you. He calls him you. And you can almost, and you're looking at the original language, it's like you could hear the panting desperation. But Samson prayed again. And in the second prayer, you see something very, very different. And I'm struck by the reverence of it. And I've heard some, you know, criticize Samson for this prayer, that somehow, you know, once again, Samson is making it all about him. But no, I think something very different is happening here. Yes, Samson was a proud man. But now he's been utterly degraded. And he has tasted total humiliation. And he's owned his shame and the shipwreck of his life. And Samson, in a very public way, has offended God, and he's treated the special covenant like toilet paper. And Samson also knows that his life ends today. This is the temple of Dagon. Thousands have gathered. It was standing room only on the main floor. And on the upper level, 3,000 more people were standing. They were looking down, and alcohol and drugs and other, you know, occult activities are ramping up for the main event. Everybody knows how a service at the Dagon temple ends. Human sacrifice. And Samson is brought out to be stripped naked and slapped around and degraded and slowly served up to Dagon. And Samson deserves every second of it, and he knows it. And he prays, Adonai, Yahweh, Tzakarenina, Weina Tzakarenina, Akapa Amhatze HaElohim. Weina kama nekam achot meshite ine mi pelishtim. Adonai, Yahweh, remember me now. Strengthen me now. Right now, O Creator, take out your justice on me for what I've done. And while you're at it, get a 2-for-1 deal on these Philistines for my 2 eyes. In that prayer, Samson uses 2 words for vengeance. And one of those words appears in only 2 places in the Bible, in this prayer and in Leviticus 26, 25, which reads, and I, this is God speaking, I will bring the sword on you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemy hands. And this is God speaking of a very specific kind of vengeance that he would bring on his own people for the sin of breaking covenant with him. And Samson is praying to fall into the hands of God rather than these devil worshipers. God, I deserve this. You chose me, but I ran from you. I grieved you over and over. I chose myself. I broke every vow I made. I made a scandal of your name. Punish me now for all my sins. Better to die by your hand than be offered up to Dagon. And you see all around you the gathering of your enemies, and you see the idolatry and the show of power. Take it all out. My will is finally aligned with yours. Let's do this together. It is a powerful, honest prayer. And examining it, I understand why Samson is included in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. His death was a powerful death that shook a nation. It shamed a false religion. For all his failures, Samson draws some parallels to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both are announced by angels. Both are destined and empowered to bring deliverance. Both are surrounded by mockers and enemies in a public execution. Both bring deliverance and freedom through their deaths. Of course, the obvious, you know, difference being that Samson was in fact a sinful failure full of pride who repeatedly broke vows with God. He was only roped into delivering Israel through his uncontrolled lust. But Jesus, he was actually sinless. He was innocent. And while he was on that cross, he was bearing our sins. As Isaiah 53 says, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. So while Jesus was on the cross, from God's perspective, it was as if Jesus had committed all your sins, all of my sins, in fact, the sins of the world. And God brought his judgment down on him just like he did on Samson. Gathered around Jesus were not just the religious leaders who were mocking him and taunting him, but also the powers of spiritual darkness. This was their Dagon moment. But what the demons didn't realize was that they were repeating the same mistake that the Philistines made. They did not comprehend the way that God would use this death to utterly break their power. 1 Corinthians 2, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. And the invitation that Jesus offers to us is come and die and truly live. The invitation that Satan is offering you, come and live, but you will really die. And each one of us here has the same choice that Samson had. We can choose to fall into the hands of the enemy, the false god, and evil, to become a sacrifice on the altar of I told you so, a place where Satan would point his finger at God and say, didn't I tell you they would never serve you? Didn't I tell you you were unlovable? They would never love you unless you were doing stuff for them. They were only doing it for themselves. Or you can pray to fall into the hands of God. Die now. Die to your own desires and your dreams of what your life should be and what you think is going to make you happy. Die to everything that you see with your eyes, everything that demands your attention and deceives you into believing that it really matters and it's what lasts. And turn to God and say, I will love the Lord my God with all of my strength and my soul and my heart and my mind. Leave no room for the enemy to gain a stronghold. In a place of victory in your life. Love God with all of your intelligence and your thoughts and your talents and abilities. Love him with all of your soul and your personality and your dreams. Love him with everything that you are physically, everything that you have materially. Love him with all of your emotions and your passion. Pour it out to him. All of my greatest and sincerest and deepest emotions from my heart belong to you and you alone. That's all I have to say tonight. Let's stand and put our hands up in the air and just begin to worship.